Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ, with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
So, today, we're going to continue our teaching in form of question, who is the one that loves me? So I want you, the disciples who always pay attention, tell me in what point we left off from there. We can pick off, because I think it's three or four points that we were saying, right? Three reasons for suffering. I think we saw one or two. I think just one. The enemy, we saw John 10:10. The stealer doesn't come to steal, take, and kill, but I have come to give you life. And we saw in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that the word is good to correct, right? Paraphrasing. Because when we receive the word, it's not for us to become scared, or it's for us to make adjustments in our lives and see what the Lord has for us, all the good he has for us. Because he's such a good king. And his promises are the promises we have for any area or situation. So we need to correct ourselves. And we just need to change it to not open doors to the devil. And we'll do a quick overthrow, and then we'll take step two. Lord, we give you thanks for the opportunity to receive your word. Your word tells us that in due time, your word is wonderful. And every time is good to receive your word. But when you speak to us and we're under teaching, you're speaking directly to our heart, to our spirit. You give us answers. You open the eyes of understanding. You give us the wisdom we need in that time. You give us the answer we were needing, because you are so good. It's everything at its due time, never late. And we want to be connected through our obedience. I speak spirit of revelation. I speak alert minds and bodies that are rejuvenated and spirits that are receiving. Amen? So I speak. And if we really love the Lord, and how we can demonstrate is by doing his word, obeying his word, putting it into action. And in occasions, we use the I love you very lightly. I love you, I love you, I love you, come, I love you, I like you. But the Lord sees the show of love differently. He sees it with acts. And he says, the one who loves me is the one who puts my word into action. So how he puts it here, he wants us to show if we love him, we're going to occupy with the kingdom. If we love the Lord, we're going to walk in love. If we love the Lord, we're going to forgive. We're going to congregate. And just like that, do what is written in the word. And why would the Lord do that? The way we show his love is to act on the word. It's because they're corresponding acts to faith what are going to bring the manifestation of love in our lives. And how is there spiritual laws? We need to operate with those laws so that the promises need to be, can be manifested. I can't say I love God and walk in hate or bad actions towards other ones. And we can't say, I love God, but never see you in church. No, because there are spiritual laws. And we can't say, I love God, but don't mess with my wallet. Because the Lord will test our fidelity, our faithfulness, not by words, but with actions. And he's not going to test us or try us with wrong. But we're going to examine ourselves and we'll know if we are in faith. And we also see how many we've seen when people come to the Lord, when people only come to the Lord when someone needs someone. That's not when someone needs something. That's not loving God. And when I receive something or I see a manifestation, there's going to be a bigger need for me to be there, a bigger want, because if it worked in that, it's also going to work in something else. Or there's also those who, if they don't see, if someone's problem isn't resolved how they want it, they grow farther from the Lord. But remember, He's always true and just. And if something didn't work in our lives, it's because we didn't hear correctly, or were we disobedient and we didn't understand. Because in all areas, there is a solution. In all areas. In fact, my girls tell me sometimes, Mommy, you always tell us that there's a solution for this. What's the solution for this? I always go to the Word. The Word says this. The Word says this. Let's act on this. Let's speak this way. Let's walk on this. Because the promises of God is everything we need to live victoriously. And even then, we focus on what is going around in our surroundings, that we forget His Word. We stop focusing on Him and we focus on the problem. And that brings distraction to our lives. And we disconnect from the Word. We don't stop being children of God. He doesn't stop loving us. But it's us who lose that consciousness of Him, because we focus on other things. And He always wants to give us the answer to the exit. He's just so marvelous in that. So it's very little, not many, who recognize that it's their own disobedience, their lack of interest in the Word, for them not to receive wholly from the, completely from the Word. Or maybe we really don't know that we were wrong. And we go to the Word and we see it to the light of the Word. The Lord can restore us. He wants to do it. He wants to restore us and bless us. So we see that there are three reasons why there is suffering. There is attacks or persecution or difficult situations in the children of God. And I mentioned it, the enemy, Satan. Because his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to bring disappointment. He wants to bring division to the body of Christ, to the children of God. But how many times is it our responsibility that the enemy continue bringing things? And sometimes it's an attack, but how many times has it been that we let him on? What we accept in our lives has the right to stay in our lives. If we accept deception, deception will come. If we accept sickness, sickness will come. If we accept failure, failure will come. But if we attack with the Word, then we need to know what the Word says. And to know what the Word says, what I believe we need to make an effort and meditate and study the Bible, the Word. So, let's go over to point number two, the second reason on why there is suffering in this world, in the land, and in the world. The broken system. When we speak of the world, we don't speak about Earth himself, but the fallen system, the broken system where Satan is involved in. We live in the world, but the Bible says that even if we are in the world, we are not part of the world. And even though we live on this broken system and land, there is things that the Lord expects from us. Go over to 1 John Chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do you have it? Okay. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right? And I want to see here how we, as children of love, can come to mold ourselves to the system of the world. If you see verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world or the things in the world. When we speak the world, we're talking about the broken system. And in this broken system, there is selections or ambiences. And you say, oh, the vibes. The eyes were just like turbulent and dark. But all system is designed for us to adapt to it. We can come to adapt to that ambiance. Last year, we were in the city of Los Mochis, and there was a humidity, extreme. And we would go out, very nice, our hair very nicely done, and all of a sudden, our hair was puffy. And we would see the sisters from there, and their hair was perfect, very, very beautiful. And us, just drying and patting the sweat, and lightly because we didn't want to remove our makeup. And our hair, the hair did whatever it wanted. And we saw the other people, the other sisters. What's going on? Why is the humidity affecting us? Because they're adapted to the atmosphere. But if we would have spent more time there, eventually our hair would adapt. It would stay how we let it. The same way other people say, oh, the heat is suffocating, it's dry. Because they're used to a humid heat. And we have a dry heat. It rains and it comes humid, but after it dries. But we adapt. I grew up in Mesa. And in the Valley of Phoenix, it is hot. Even more here than Tucson. So, cold in Phoenix, you really don't feel it. So it was cold. But when we moved to Douglas, we moved in February. January and February are extremely cold in Douglas. And I suffered because it was cold, exaggerating. And I saw people there with a very light sweater, and I looked like an Eskimo because the cold was so bad. I'm still affected by cold, but not as bad. But I'm still really affected by cold, but not walking around like an Eskimo. Because my body adapted to the atmosphere. So on occasions, if we don't realize we adapt to the lack of faith, to the fear, to the atmosphere of not believing what the word says, because we're so used to seeing what is going around, we adapt to the ambience and atmosphere of bad news. And we forget that our atmosphere should be word and his promises. So when we maintain ourselves in the promises, then our nature will then take us to the atmosphere of the word because we're adapted to it. But see how easy it is to be influenced by negative or bad things. I've heard from youth of children of God who have grown in churches, and they go into public schools, especially when they're in second grade or high school, and they're being influenced of what they're hearing in their atmosphere. They start speaking how others speak. They begin behaving how others behave. They start dressing how others dress. Why? Because they adapt to the atmosphere. And sometimes we want to blame the devil, the fallen and broken system. But the system has always been broken. But our atmosphere should be the Word. And the Lord tells us that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are the light of the fallen system. And we can be the salt of the earth. We give flavor to life on this earth. Not if we adapt to the world. We can't give it flavor. Our light will grow lighter and darker if we adapt to the world. But in fact, it's not fallen. It's not the fallen system. It's us. Because the system doesn't stop being fallen. The broken system doesn't stop being broken. Even so, read 15 again. Do not love the world. There's people that love the world. Those children of God that seek the things of the world. And things go wrong and they want to blame the Lord. Or the things in the world. Don't seek to have what the world has. If someone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say that that God doesn't love us. He continues loving us. He acts how he acts, dress how we dress. He continues loving us if we're in fear or in doubt or in unfaithfulness, because he has loved us with an eternal love. He doesn't stop loving us. It says that his love isn't in us, that we don't practice that love. But Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed in our hearts. Right. If we don't act on that love hasn't been accepted by us. It's been shed on, but it hasn't been accepted. Kenneth Copeland says that healing is always available, but it's not always received. And it's true, because healing has been paid for. The love of God has been delivered by Jesus, but it's not always received. So we see 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. How many times look and seek things of the world and the natural to feel satisfied? But they don't come from the Lord. Here we live, but we can be different. Everything that is in the world, in the broken, the fallen system, don't seek the ways of the world for it to be our complacency. The Lord needs to be our complacency. And the more we know him, the more we're going to know him. The more we study, the more we know him. Remember, the enemy, the broken system, but that doesn't mean we have to accept suffering. And I'm giving you the reason so you identify them, not for you to adapt to them. And not to say, oh, I'm here suffering because, there is suffering in the world. Yeah, we identify them, but we don't adapt to them. He tells us, don't seek the world, don't love the world, because they only bring suffering. Seek the things, the ways of the Lord. Many children of God seek companionship to feel accepted or that where they belong somewhere, and they speak the wrong company. The company we have are going to be influenced by good or right. Who decides? Us. It's us. Go over me to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13. And if I'm not wrong, this version I sent it in another translation so that we could see a couple of translations here. Can you confirm if you have it? Since I don't remember if I sent it a couple weeks ago. It's in the New Living Translation. Let's first read in our regular New King James. No temptation has overtaken you except such as you common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And you know, sometimes we have an adversity or a problem and we misunderstand the verse because a temptation has not been given that is not human. But he who is faithful with the temptation will also make you a way to escape. It's been misinterpreted that it's been said that God is the one who gives temptation. But because it says that with temptation, he gives the escape. But if you can put the New Living Translation, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You see where it says that it doesn't say that God gave you the temptation, the problem. Everything we encounter, everyone else encounters. It's nothing new. Oh, this situation is happening. Nobody understands what I'm going through. We don't need to know the details to identify ourselves. Because it says here that any other situation or temptation, someone else has already encountered it. What he does say is that he's going to give us the exit. So we can be on this broken system, receiving, seeing the influences and the problems, but we know whom to go to. But how many times have we gone to the natural resources and we don't seek from the Lord and we come into desperation because we can't see the exits and we see sayings of the world. That God ties us, but he doesn't make us strangled because we want to identify ourselves with the world. Instead of identifying ourselves with the world, instead of saying, oh, I'm going through this situation, but the word gives me this exit. He guides me to the escape, to the exit, through his word, through a promise. He'll show us something in his word that will give us something to maintain so that we can be relieved from that broken system. Because if we are the light of the world, we need to live according to the light of the world. So really, there is a suffering in that broken system. But the more we seek the desires of the flesh, the less we are going to hear the voice and the exit. John 8:44. The devil has always been a homicide. He's always been a killer. He's always been. He has never remained in truth. Because there is no truth in the devil and what is in the world. Where it says, you are of your father, the devil. There is nothing that can remain in the world. How many people do we know who have tried to be in the world and fail? How many people have prospered their own way and eventually they lose their righteousness? They're exposed by the enemy. And I told the youth group recently, on occasions you're influenced by the devil to speak how your friends speak, and they incite you and they push you to behave like them and dress like them and speak like them. And the same devil that influences you is the same devil who is going to expose you and bring condemnation. So we follow the influences of the devil and we behave like others in unfaithfulness, in doubt, in fear, as adults. And we know what the word says. We behave like the world. And the same devil who influenced us is the one who exposes us under the eyes of someone else. The world mocks us, and we enter in condemnation. We come into condemnation because that's what he wants. And we're like, God doesn't love me. We feel without value, worthless. Even if I pray, look what I did, look what I made happen. All of that was influenced by the devil because their desires continued. The lust of the flesh isn't just fornicating and orgies. The desires of the flesh is not congregate because the flesh never wants to. It doesn't want to do godly things. The flesh doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to believe. The flesh is connected with their mind, and if the mind doesn't want to pray, but the Lord in his beautiful wisdom, he created the perfect man, created, and I'm speaking a man as in woman, in spirit. He made a spirit, not flesh, so that the spirit could govern over the mind, our soul, and our body. So we can live in the world, but not have a sense of belonging, right? Everything you hear in your mind from the devil are lies. If it's not in line with the word, it is lies, because the devil is a liar. Any influence that comes to your mind that is not aligned to the word is a lie. And to be able to identify that, you need to know the word. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Remember, when we're meditating on the word, we need to stop and read closely, because the Lord spoke in such a way that his words were so profound that sometimes the disciples didn't understand. But we, you and I, have the Spirit of God who helps us and reveals what the Lord was saying. How many of you have happened if you've read it, you heard it, and you've confessed it, but at one moment, even though you've heard it and read it 1,000 times, something popped out from that verse who broke into your heart and it took another life. It broke into life. The Lord spoke to you directly and you say, I've read this verse before. How is it that I've never seen that? It's revelation. And it comes because we're continuously looking for the Lord. Not every once in a while. We don't visit the word. We said John 16:33. Let's read there. These things that I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. If Jesus is speaking here, it's necessary that you and I pay attention because he's saying something. Verse 32, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, he has now that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. So he was talking to the disciples and he was telling them what's going to happen and warning them of what they were going to see, what they were going to presence and witness to. He was telling them what was going to happen in the world. They didn't understand it. But Jesus knew it could perturb their minds. For them to see him be apprehended. When he told Peter, you're going to deny me. No, Lord, why would I do that? How am I going to deny you because I've seen the miracles and everything? I won't do that, Lord. But Jesus knew what was coming. He was giving them just light warnings of what was coming, that the disciples were not trained or were not able to understand. Their soul was going to be bothered because they could not imagine the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, even though they've seen the miracles. Even if they've been told about a resurrection, to their natural minds, it was difficult to understand. So he says, all these things that I've told you, it's so you could be at peace in me and remember what I have told you and remember the victory is coming and that through me, you will have a life in victory. And he said, I'm telling you this for you to set not your eyesight in the world or what's going on in the cross or that I'm going to die, but that I am going to resurrect. And or not that I'm going to hell, but I am going to rise. These things I have spoken that you may have peace in me. In the world, you will have tribulation. You have difficult things and problems that you've never even looked for just by being children of God. Because the enemy will come against you. He will come against the anointing in you. Not you just because you're pretty or ugly. It's be the anointing because of who is in you. That's why the enemy is against us. Because of whom is against us. Because of the assignments the Lord has given us. That's why the system is fallen and comes against the children of God. But he says, but be of good cheer. And he said, be at peace. Trust. And he has told them, and he has said, be in peace. And he said, but have good cheer. Trust in who? In him. Trust in him because I have overcome the world. A version says, I have conquered the system and have taken authority to harm you. Why does it continue harming us? Because we allow it. Because we don't maintain in that peace. If you maintain in that peace and trusting in the Lord, he will not leave you. He won't leave you. He will always give you an exit and an answer. But the important is to keep at peace in him. So that in him, we may have peace. He's not even asking for us to trust ourselves. He's not asking to be at peace with ourselves, but him. How can I trust in someone? How do you accomplish trust in someone? Can I trust the lives of my children and the man that is in the corner? No. Only knowing someone. My kids ask me, because with very little people, I allow them to come into their homes or allow them to go into your house. And I tell them, no, because I don't know who's there. to my house, any of their friends can come over because I know how I take care of my kids. And recently, they visited a person. They went to this person's home and they said, do you trust them? And I said, yes, because I know their heart, her heart. That's why I trust. But not with everyone, not even the people of the church. No, they're my kids, right? They're my girls. I love everyone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I trust all of them. It doesn't mean that they're mean. Maybe I just don't know them. But by knowing them, I could accomplish that trust. But because I don't know them, because I don't spend many times with that, how I spent with this other person, and it's not because I don't trust, love them, it's just that I don't trust them. So how can I accomplish knowing the Lord? Spending time with Him and knowing His Word. He is His Word. He is the Word. If I see what the Word says and that He has binded to the Word, I can trust it because He won't change. His yes is yes and His no is no. He's not going to stop loving me because I make a mistake. He's not going to stop talking to me because I made a mistake. How sometimes we do. We stop talking to someone because they offend me. We can sometimes sadden the Holy Spirit with our words or our actions, but He doesn't stop loving us. He's always the same. You see how the ones that change are us. You see how sometimes we can wake up with our entire energy to speak, and another day, no. Who changed? The Lord? No, us. The lust of the flesh changed. So trust. I have a good cheer. I have overcome the world. That problem that you're going through, I already paid for it. Now it's your turn as my son to develop your trust that I'm going to give you the exit. Seek that exit. And why doesn't He just give it to me? Because He doesn't want our mind. He wants our heart. Our mind, since it hasn't been renewed or transformed, our soul, it's volatile. One day it wants to, one day it doesn't. But the Spirit, it's the one that Jesus has paid the price for. He wants our heart, not our will. He wants our heart because the Spirit is always willing. He wants our heart, not the desire. And the more time we spend in the Lord, the more strengthened we are in Him, and the less we will struggle to trust. So then problems will come and we're going to be strong in the Lord, strong in Him, not us, in Him. He loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. We need to understand. Are you going through a problem? Seek the Word. What does the Word say? If it says here that He's already given you an exit and He's already overcome, keep seeking so that your mind, will, and emotions, oh, are the emotions play tricks on us? Those emotions, we need to control them. We want to trust the Lord. Learn to dominate the emotions. Faith has nothing to do with feelings, but it has everything to do with the Word of God. We have the want or not to. The pastor was speaking about the importance of worship and praise and thankfulness. The more we speak about thankfulness, the more strengthened we'll be in the Lord. And it's not just, thank you for our car. Yeah, we're going to give thanks for even the minimal. But why? How many of you have sometimes been singing during praise and worship you're singing, speaking the words, the lyrics of the song, but you're thinking about something else. I think we can all be blamed for that. See how we were not completely connected? And what does the psalm say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget any of His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What's in my soul? My mind, my emotions, my will. But in my mind, in that is I forgot to turn off the crock pot. And we're singing a song, I praise you. Effie. And you're singing, oh my God, I left the crock pot on. Yeah, the mind is thinking what we didn't do or what we did do or what was told. Even I'm to blame for that. Sometimes I'm singing the songs and I turn around to see how many heaters are on, how many refrigeration is on. See, sometimes we just don't connect. And we turn around, turn one on, turn one off. And I'm singing and clapping. But He wants spirit, mind, and soul, everything. And our body. Why are we thankful? Why is it good to connect our whole being when we're praying and singing? We could be making our daily confessions. And we can say them because they're written. Maybe we know them by memory, but we don't connect with them. We don't pay attention to what we're saying. One of my girls told me, Mom, how can a person receive their healing when we're praying for them? Well, that's a good question. Because we could be praying for someone, but are they really receiving? Is it by faith? And I said, oh Lord, that person needs to connect with the words that are being spoken to him or her. And we could be praying, yes, Lord. Oh, yeah, in the name of Jesus. And that brother and the sister, we go, amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How about we listen? Connect with the words. Connect. That's how we receive, because we're connected what is being spoken. That's why when we pray, we need to connect to that word, to that prayer. And I told my daughter, and when we're being ministered or we're ministering, that person needs to see themselves. And to see and to visualize, they need to listen. And you say, I cast out that headache and I speak healing right now. That person needs to see themselves healed. Their head being healed. They're praying for my finger. They need to see. And the Lord will give you that impression, that image, because you're connecting with that power. Amen? When you're confessing the word, visualize. When you're reading the word, when you're studying, pay attention to the words, the Lord is saying. And us just knowing the verses by memory, but to connect with them. To connect our whole being. To see and visualize what the verse is saying. So that in me, you may have peace in Him. Who is He? In Isaiah, He speaks about being our wonderful counselor. The Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. What is a prince? That's an authority. A figure of authority, a representative. He's our Prince of Peace. Glory to God. Our Prince of Peace. When we sing that song, admirable counselor, Prince of Peace. That word, that it filled my heart a while back. I love it because we recognize He is our Prince of Peace and we visualize Him as that peace. One word or one phrase, but you have to pay attention to what it's saying. Amen? A song, 1,000 Hallelujahs, you've heard it. In English, it says, this song is forever yours, is a phrase. That phrase, it's from me to the Lord is what ministers Him the most. With 1,000 hallelujahs. That's what hallelujah is. With 1,000 glories of God. Isn't that recognizing Him? Because I'm connecting with Him. The pastor was saying, people don't pay attention to praise and worship because in their daily life, they don't practice praise and worship. They don't understand how important it is in our daily living, just recognizing Him, just blessing the Lord. If we're giving thanks because of our car, why? Because you've provided, because to take me from one place to another, from my house to church, from my home to my work, from my home to the supermarket, and then to my home so I can feed my kids. That is being thankful when we recognize in detail. Oh yeah, the Lord gives me the ability to produce riches. What ability? Well, right now, I don't have an ability. Okay. If you're saying it by faith, then connect with those abilities. I don't know which ones, but you're connecting with them. I still don't know them, but I know I have abilities because your word says, I have the ability to produce riches. He shows them. The Lord will put in His word. And if we don't connect with Him, I can do all things through Christ. I'm more than conqueror. And He's always, and I'm always in triumph in Jesus. And then the phone. It's not just confess, it's a connecting. Amen? And then, these reasons of suffering will start to take up less importance in our lives. Because the one who will be more important will be Jesus. No matter what we feel, we're going to remind our soul, praise the Lord. And don't forget any of His benefits. And we say, Lord, I give thanks that because 3 years ago, I stopped having those pains I used to have. Thank you because you healed me. Thank you because 10 years ago, I didn't even have money to buy a water bottle. And now my fridge is full. It's you. Lord, I remember when I didn't have a car. Now I have 2 or 3. Thank you that you are the one that's prospered me. I thank you, Lord, because I remember when I couldn't pay my electricity bill and I called on you and I sowed a seed that you gave me and the manifestation came. And it's you the one that's given me this. It's good to remember things of the past in thankfulness. He says, not forgetting His benefits. Oh, and remember when I couldn't sleep, of how worried I was that it wouldn't be enough. And now that your promise that you give sleep to your beloved is true. How true is to have a relationship with the Lord? How true is to give thanks? Amen. It's easy. You say, I already prayed, but fear hasn't left. It's because you haven't connected. Your mouth was talking, but your spirit wasn't connected. We're not just the flesh, and we're not just the soul. We're spirit, mind, soul, body. That's why it's good to raise our hands when in praise and worship, because we recognize that our help comes from Him. And it's not just clapping our hands. It's spirit, mind, body. If I'm raising my hands, it's because I'm connecting the action of raising and recognizing that my help comes from Him. That He is the one who strengthens me and fortifies me. I connect my mind with what I am speaking. It's good that we practice that so that these atmospheres don't take over and the atmosphere of the Word takes over. Have you received this afternoon? Connect. Connect yourself. Connect. Be on your feet. We're going to pray and connect with the Lord. We're going to connect with our confessions and the Lord. Connect with your promises of the Lord. If you're struggling for a new job, for healing, whatever it is, speak the promises that back up that situation and connect your words to that. That's why it's not just to be crying, "Oh, Lord, help me." That's not complaining. You're connecting with your emotions and feelings. And there's no faith. And if there's no faith, it's faith that agrees with the Lord. Lord, we give you thanks. How we love you, Lord. Your help always comes and is always punctual. Never fails. Your word tells us that you are true and just. You forgive us. You forgive us, but you are true and just. True and just. Your word says that you are a good God, a good of kindness and mercy. And even if we failed, your mercy is present to help us and remind us what we are in Christ. Your word says that we are more than conquerors, and that any situation that my brothers or sisters are encountering, we connect with your promise that even from all these things, we are more than conquerors, and that you give us the exit to this situation. Thank you that they see the exit and they hear the Spirit of the Lord, the exit and the answer, because the Spirit of God speaks to us and reminds us what God has, what Jesus has said in His Word. And He makes those things known and gives witness to our spirit of what you are speaking. We give thanks because you are the strength of our lives. If on occasions the pressure of the world and the adversity that has come against us have made us think that we can't hold on, that we can't do it anymore, that it's too much, that your word says that you are the fortress of our lives. You say that he who believes in you will not be ashamed. And I believe with my brothers and sisters that we are not left behind. And you always come to rescue and always come to our help. You are our helper. You are our Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the strength that you impart in our bodies. Your word says that you are wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus has been made knowledge to us. And if we don't know how to do something, we call upon that knowledge. And we walk in wisdom and in revelation. And we hear your voice. We connect with that precious voice, that still and quiet voice that you have promised to speak to us. I give you thanks because you are good and you are marvelous. Thank you because you have provided a spiritual family whom we could unite our faith and as members of this family, help us and strengthen us each other. It is you who has brought us to this place. It is you who has united us. It is you who has made this family. There is a special assignment for each and one of us here. And I pray and I declare that we hear and understand that specific assignment so that we can work on it and there be fruit on it and a manifestation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we receive it and we establish it with the authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Be joyful with the Lord always and be thankful always and be connected with Him always. See, it's not hard. It's practical. And more when we're alone, because we can tell Him anything and no one will judge us. Only you can speak and the Lord will hear you. Speak faith, because that will bring result.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.